Find yourself more enraged with every news headline?
Do you have crippling anxiety when you see pictures of starving polar bears on melting icebergs?
Are you shaking your fists at every new threat to bodily autonomy?
If you answered yes to these questions, we have an answer for you. Her Turn, WORT's feminist news, airs every Sunday at 11 a.m., and the collective is looking for new volunteers to join us.
No previous experience needed, just a commitment to feminist news and a willingness to bring more women's voices to the radio. Call 608-256-2001 and say you want to volunteer on Her Turn.
Turn your anger into action. Turn your anxiety into hopefulness. Turn your discouragement into power. Volunteer with Her Turn right here on WORT Madison and make your woman's voice heard.
Hi friends, Vicki here. I'm hosting Query tonight, but wanted to give you a quick public service announcement. On April 5th at Brittingham Park on West Washington, it's 829 West Washington, April 5th from 1 o'clock until 4 o'clock, there's a trans and queer community potluck. The objective here is to just meet neighbors and meet some organizations that are working to build community power and resilience here in Madison and Dane County. Bunch of cool organizations taking part in this. Madison Tenant Power, Outreach LGBT Community Center, the Trans Resistant Action Committee, amongst others. Again, it's April 5th from 1 until 4 at Brittingham Park. And hey, we'd sure love to hear more about what kind of events are going on in the community. And one way you can do that is by getting in touch with us through the WORT website. It's WORTFM.org. If you scroll down just a little bit on the left-hand side, you'll see a header that says Connect with Us. If you click on that, you can then send us your announcement. There's a form for you to fill out, and you should give us as much information as you can, including your contact info or the contact info of someone who's running the event in case we have some questions or need some clarification. Most importantly, though, don't forget, your announcement is relevant to these programs, and go ahead and select the programs that you feel it's relevant to. But don't forget to click Query. The hosts of the shows that you click will get an email with your event after you hit Submit, and we will try to get in touch with you and talk more about your event on the air. Give us as much notice as you can. That's always so helpful. Thanks, friends, for tuning in. And here we go with tonight's episode. Hello, friends. It's time for Query, Madison's longest-running radio show dedicated to LGBTQ issues. I'm your host, Vicki Kenyon. I use she, her pronouns. Joining us tonight is Jen Uphoff-Gray. She is the artistic director of Forward Theater Company here in Madison. Listen, Jen grew up here in Madison. She has a degree in dramatic literature and stage history from Harvard and spent time as an associate director on Broadway, the big time. She's been in her role since 2009 and has directed about 27 main stage productions so far.
I think we're hitting 31 now.
Yeah. Well, welcome.
Thanks.
Thanks for being with us tonight.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So first, Jen, why don't you talk a little bit about Forward Theater Company? You guys have been around since 2009.
Mm-hmm.
And tell us a little bit about how it all got started and what's been going on.
Sure. So first of all, just thanks for having me in to chat. We are finishing up our Sweet 16th season here at Forward. We started in early 2009. We were started by a group of professional theater artists who were calling this Southern Wisconsin region our home. And it was when the previous Equity, and Equity is the professional theater union company here in Madison, the Madison Rep, had closed its doors. I'm sure we all remember those 2008, 2009 economic troubles. And a bunch of us got together because we didn't want a city like Madison to be without a professional company, both in terms of serving the audience with what productions could be offered, but also supporting those workers, making sure that professional theater artists in Wisconsin had places to work. They didn't have to leave the state. And Madison Rupp was actually one of three professional companies in southern Wisconsin that shuttered during a 6-month period.
Yeah.
So our mission statement is really about serving our audience and community, but also about employing Wisconsin-based theater professional artists for that reason.
There's this really great quote on your website that I love. It says, "We are inspired by the Wisconsin idea of service to the broader community, and we tie our onstage work to expansive engagement efforts throughout each season."
Yeah.
Totally.
It's really important to us. It's our founding values, serving the audience, serving the broader community, and serving the community of artists. And so everything that we do, we're thinking about that. And we try to look at each season and think, okay, what can we do this season beyond just producing these plays that serves the community? What can we do beyond just these plays on our stage that serves the people who sit in our audience, and what can we do beyond just these plays that serves that artistic community? So, in terms of the artistic community, we have a whole bunch of projects we've started during our time. World Premiere Wisconsin, which gets new plays produced all over the state. 50 plays were produced in the inaugural festival in 2023. That was a forward program. We launched the Wisconsin Directors Lab this year to serve directors and emerging directors from all over the state. We run Wisconsin Writes to provide script development opportunities to Wisconsin-based playwrights. So that's just on the artist side. But the Wisconsin idea, take what you have and share it.
I think you guys do a really good job of mixing productions from well-known writers. We'll talk about what's coming up in just a minute.
Great.
But also with local writers. Mm-hmm. I saw Murder Girl when it was in town, and it was such a great show. Clearly written by someone from Wisconsin, right?
Yeah, a world premiere by the amazing Heidi Armbruster, who grew up in the area. First production of that script, I am confident it'll be done everywhere. We sold, I think, every available seat to that entire run.
Yeah, for those of you who didn't catch it, the show takes place in an up north tavern,
supper club.
Yeah. It's so great. It's the only set for the whole show, and it's clearly Wisconsin. Yeah. I love it. Love it.
Yeah.
So, Ford Theater Company has always been deeply rooted in being inclusive, diverse, equitable, and accessible. I say it shows a lot. If you can't, I say it on this show a lot. If you can see it, you can be it.
Yeah.
And how representation matters so much. Why has this been such an important piece to the Forward Theater Company?
I think that I and everybody else, I mean, I'm sort of the figurehead for Forward as the founding artistic director, but this is a very communal company. We have a staff that works really closely together. We have a board that is incredibly supportive. We have a unique governance structure where we essentially have a second board, our artistic advisory company, and we have carefully structured our bylaws so that artistic board works in tandem with our regular board of directors that's more in charge of the sort of financial and legal oversight to make sure that transparency and sharing of information and perspective is part of all of the decisions that we make. So it's not just the values that I grew up with here in this community, but of everybody else involved with the company. These are our values. We're members of this community. We want it to be better. We want it to be stronger. And to do what we can as theater artists to tell stories that increase empathy, that provide that cathartic release of seeing yourself, like you said, you have to see it to be it. And making sure that we, in the storytelling that we do, in the artists that we employ, and in the community engagement work that we do, that we are providing artistic experiences to as many different kinds of members of our community as we can. And I just think it's baked into everything we've been doing for the past 16 years.
Yeah, that's amazing. I didn't know about the two different boards of directors that you have. It makes sense, and I like that model a lot.
It's served us well.
Okay, so you've got a new show coming up.
Yeah.
Premieres on the 27th, right?
Yes.
At the Overture. And it's called A Case for the Existence of God. What do you want to tell us about this specific show?
First of all, I love it so much. This is one of the scripts that I read it and advocated very, very strongly for a number of years for us to produce it. The second and maybe even more important thing to say is don't be misled by the title.
Right.
I've been hearing from a lot of folks like, well, I love what Forward does, but I don't necessarily want to see a play about religion. This isn't at all about that. This is about two people dealing with struggles in their lives, finding in each other a friend who can support them and help them deal with their lives. And as someone personally, I grew up in a very secular, half Jewish, half Quaker household, no organized religion, but a lot of talk about faith in people and morality coming from how you treat others and how you contribute to the world. And I don't want to speak for the playwright Samuel D. Hunter, but I believe that that is the reason behind the title. The case for the existence of God is how we create support for each other and how we take care of each other in this world. With that said, there are so many things in this play that make me laugh riotously. I have two extraordinary actors, Jamal James and Josh Krause.
It's just a cast of two, right?
It is a cast of two. It's very intimate. Because the play is so intimate, we actually are doing something we've only done once before at Forward in the Playhouse, and that is we have converted the Playhouse Theater into the round. So there's a bank of seating on the stage so that the actors are surrounded on all four sides. And the play, the room that they are in, we've actually put on a turntable.
Wow.
So that it between each scene, it'll rotate a little bit, so you're constantly seeing their story play out from a slightly different perspective.
Interesting.
It's really fun.
Yeah, something totally different.
Yeah.
And so what can you tell us about the actors who are in the show?
So Jamal James would be very familiar to Forward subscribers and also folks who've spent a lot of time out at APT. He was in Feeding Beatrice and in 46 Plays for America's First Ladies here at Forward. Done many shows at APT. He starred in The Royale for folks who saw that production. I just adore him. And I will say that when I first read the script, I immediately pictured Josh and Jamal, and the fact that I get to direct this play with the two of the people who I had in my brain from the beginning is such a gift for me as a director.
Wonderful.
He is a beautiful human and an amazing artist. Josh Krause is a member of Forward's advisory company. He was in Erinus with us. He was in The Amateurs with us. He was in Lewiston Clarkston, which was also by the same playwright who wrote A Case for the Existence of God here at Forward. He is also a newly named core company member at APT.
Wonderful.
So he's been there a ton.
Yeah, I love that. That's really cool.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about the writer of this show. So Samuel D. Hunter is a name you might not recognize, but he's written a whole bunch of really cool stuff. He's probably written 13 or 14 plays. If there's anything you know by him, it's definitely The Whale. He got a MacArthur Genius Grant, and he's been, gotten all sorts of awards and recognition throughout his career. And he's a pretty young guy.
Yeah.
But how did you choose this work by him? It sounds like you've been wanting to get this piece here for a while.
Yeah. So I have been a huge fan of Sam's writing since he kind of emerged on the scene. The Whale was one of his earlier plays. We'd been reading his work for quite some time at Forward and loving it and never quite feeling exactly the right one that fit into a season. We did our first of his plays. Actually, it's two paired plays, Lewiston and Clarkston, that are meant to be performed together. That we had programmed and announced just over 5 years ago today, right before the world shut down.
Yes.
So we wound up doing that play and filming it for digital release. We did not have a live audience for it. We did not only get to start working on his plays when we produced Lewiston Clarkston, it also started creating a relationship with him. We reached out. We have a podcast. We were able to have him come and appear on our podcast because it was the COVID year and everything was on Zoom, and it suddenly became easier to talk to folks who weren't necessarily here. And I already loved his writing, but when we started actually talking with him person to person, just felt such an affinity for the way he thinks about the world and about our industry and the theater and what we can do with our work. I just really felt a deep sense of connection. We brought him into Wisconsin as part of World Premiere Wisconsin, I mentioned before, to be the keynote speaker for a Wisconsin Dramatists retreat that we put together. And I got to sit and have coffee with him at that point and tell him how much I loved A Case for the Existence of God, which kind of helped loosen the rights for us to be able to produce it. One of the things that I really love about his work, two things I really love about his work. One is he has this incredible naturalistic dialogue that masks deep philosophical ideas. You're never going to feel like you're being sort of preached to or fed a philosophical viewpoint. It is so naturalistic and relatable, but it's there's just deep undergirdings of everything that he writes about. The other thing that I love is he is so regionally specific in where he sets his plays that they become universal.
Hmm.
He grew up in Idaho. He lives in New York now. He's done a lot of talking and writing about growing up queer in Idaho and needing to leave and find a place for himself elsewhere in the world. But pretty much all of his plays have been set in various towns and cities throughout Idaho or nearby. And they feel so rooted in the sense of place, in that sense of small town or small city living, that they're so relatable. We understand. You don't have to live in Idaho.
It could be any small town.
A Case for the Existence of God is set in Twin Falls, which is a city of about 50,000. And it just feels so rooted in what it is like to live in a place like that. And I love that specificity. And the fact that he's celebrating the region he knows so well. I mean, so much of American theater is set in New York City. And there are many great plays that are set in New York City, but it's really nice when it's not.
Yeah, something different.
Yeah. That,
and more relatable.
Yeah.
Because most of the country doesn't live in New York City.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And when we're talking about deep-rooted philosophical stuff around living in a small town, it's something that can draw people to the theater that maybe wouldn't go.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah, yeah. I'm excited to see this show. Tell us more about when it premieres and how we can get tickets and all the things.
Sure. So we begin performances March 27th, and it runs for three weekends. It's in the Playhouse at Overture Center, which, if you haven't been in there, it's a beautiful space. It seats about a little over 300 people, but it's very intimate. No one's more than, you know, 7-8 rows from the stage.
Yeah.
And especially with this one being in the round, you're just going to really feel like you have this close personal relationship with the actors.
Yeah.
Right in front of you. You can get tickets through calling the Overture ticket office, 608-258-4141, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
But forwardtheater.com is the easy way to find everything about the play.
Right on. So what else is coming up in the balance of 2025? I'm sure there's a lot.
There is a lot. So we do have this Case for the Existence of God is the final main stage production of this 16th season. We do have our New Work Festival, which is a monologue festival this season, coming up in May. These are pieces that have been submitted from playwrights all over the country, actually all over the world, that have been, we chose 12 pieces out of the 300 that were submitted on the theme of guilty pleasures. So this is going to be very fun.
Wow, that'll be interesting.
Yeah, so that's coming up second weekend in May, also at Overture Center. More information on our website. And then, today is the 19th of March,
mm-hmm.
and yesterday we announced our upcoming 17th season. So subscriptions are now on sale. This is our Changing the Narrative slate of plays. And so, all the information is on our website, but we picked 4 plays for next year that really, despite being very different, are all about characters kind of looking at their lives, seeing what is around them, and then taking action to change things and to make a difference. I don't know why we thought those kinds of stories would be helpful in today's world.
Seems like they might be.
But I think they might be. And what I love is that I think each of these plays next season is going to be providing a different kind of support to all of us in these times. We're going to start our season in September with the Pulitzer Prize winning Primary Trust by Ebony Booth. This is a play, if you want to just feel compassion and really touch that empathy center, it's beautiful, heartwarming brilliant play. In November, we're going to be doing Gutenberg the Musical. This is the come and laugh with your friends, okay, because we need to fill up our joy tank a little bit.
Yeah.
And then we'll close out the second half of the season with Martina Mayock's play Ironbound about the immigrant experience. Very glad to be starting 2026, which is the semi-quincentennial of America. 250, with a play looking at the American journey through the eyes of an immigrant, which feels really valuable right now. And then closing out our season with a world premiere by acclaimed playwright Lauren Gunderson called Lady Disdain, which is a feisty feminist retelling of Much Ado About Nothing set in the world of audio romance books.
Oh my gosh.
And romanticy. I'm telling you. It is so sexy and fun and fiery, and it's going to send everybody back out ready to just take on the world.
That's amazing.
It's a great season.
All four of those sound really good.
Yeah, and subscriptions are really, really affordable and a great way to just kind of get yourself a date night or a friend's night on your calendar four times a year. We run for 3 weeks, and exchanges are free and easy, so I know folks sometimes are nervous about locking dates in. Yeah, it's... we're fans of our subscriber base.
You know, my wife and I went to the theater yesterday, and we keep saying, we need to do this more.
Yeah.
You just get inside of the theater, the doors close, and you can lose yourself in whatever's on stage for a little while and just enjoy yourself. So I hope that people will find you for this new season and consider subscription. You can share tickets with friends, too. You know,
and that human connection, not just the fact that you're experiencing storytelling live and in person, those actors are in the same space you are. It's just different from TV or film, but also that you are next to your neighbors and fellow members of your community. And there's that level of like personal engagement that just feels harder to find in today's world.
Yeah, I agree. And even more important, right? I think if we can keep finding ways to engage with what's on stage, it's a little bit of an escape. It's a little bit of exploring new ideas, new ways of being. I think we should just do it more. More music, more theater.
Amen. Case for the existence of God.
There we go. So let's talk about that one more time. So the show is called A Case for the Existence of God. It starts May the 27th. It starts March the 27th. If you're interested in tickets, you can go to forwardtheater.com.
Yeah.
And you can buy tickets there.
Yeah.
Or you can call the Overture.
Yeah. And just for folks who are wondering what the play is about beyond this philosophical question of, you know, how are we showing up for each other? These two characters in Twin Falls, Idaho, one is Ryan. He is white, blue collar, not college educated, going through a divorce. The parent of a 15-year-old daughter, dealing with trying to rebuild his life. And he wants to buy a piece of property that used to belong to his ancestors. And he finds himself in the mortgage brokerage office of Keith, who is the same age, also the single parent to a young daughter. But Keith is black. Keith is gay, and he is fostering to adopt his daughter. And both of them are struggling with how to be good fathers and how to deal with the loneliness they are both feeling. And they sit in this little mortgage brokerage office. And despite being different on so many levels, they deep down share some really common feelings. And we see them explore that over the course of the play, and it is funny and hope-filled and also heartbreaking, and has a beautiful sort of twist at the end that I think might prompt a few, you know, fluttering hearts.
I like a show that takes you to all the emotions, too,
yeah,
right?
All of them.
Feel all the feels. I love that.
Yeah.
Jen, are there ways that folks can support Forward Theater Company beyond being ticket purchasers?
I mean, always, in any way possible, whether it's as a donor, as an advocate out in the community, someone just, you know, beating the drum for supporting local arts, advocating for arts support with your elected representatives. Folks may not know, Wisconsin for many, many, many years has been at the absolute bottom in terms of per capita government support for the arts. We are 50th in the country. Financial support from the state of Wisconsin for the arts is, I believe, 18 cents right now. By comparison, in Minnesota, it's over $10 per person.
Wow.
It is frustrating because actually the amount that of economic revenue generated for our community and our state is very, very, very high. You know, I always say folks tend to get, we don't really have money to support the arts because there's so many other priorities in terms of our financial support. And we're like, no, the arts are supporting the state financially.
Right.
We are one of the largest economic drivers in the state, this industry. Even if you don't have the finances to support us yourself, letting your elected representatives know that you want them to better support what we do is tremendously valuable. As everyone knows, everything in this country costs so much more to do and to produce. We only get about half of our revenues from ticket sales. Everything else is coming from predominantly individual donors, some foundation support, a little bit of corporate support, almost nothing in terms of government support. We really rely on our community to be generous, if the ones who can, so that we can keep it affordable and accessible for those who may not have those financial capacities.
Right. So pitch in if you can. And if you can't financially pitch in, make some phone calls.
Yeah.
If you're not sure who your representatives are, you can hop online and type, who's my representative? There's a lot of great search tools to find that. Call their offices and make some phone calls. Call your local rep. Call your state rep.
Yeah.
Call your alder, call all the people.
And we do have a lot of ticket opportunities for folks who are watching their wallets. We have preview performance, that first performance, the preview. The tickets are $30. They're $15 for students and educators. Actually, their tickets to any performance based on availability are $15 for students. We offer a lot of other discounts that folks can get to make sure that the price is not the barrier keeping them from the theater.
So if you can't find that on the website, give a call or send an email to
Absolutely.
Forward Theater Company.
Yep. And they'll info guide at you. Forward Theater.
Yeah. Right on. Jen, I want to say thanks. Is there anything else we should talk about before we go?
Oh, my gosh. Just everyone should go see more theater. Come see A Case for the Existence of God and then spend your summer seeing theater everywhere else. Go to APT, go to Milwaukee, go to Door County.
Yeah.
And then come back and see us again in the fall.
Yes. We'll look forward to the new season coming. Sounds like four great shows, and we can look for subscription info on your website.
Sure.
We'll give it one more time. ForwardTheaterCompany.com. Is that right?
No company, just ForwardTheater.com.
ForwardTheater.com.
We spell theater with an ER because we live in America.
Right, we do. So, Jen, thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you, Vicki.
It was fun to talk about all the things coming up with Forward Theater Company. I want to say thanks to Katie for making us sound great tonight, as always. And thank you for joining us on tonight's Query Show. Join us again next week when Matvei is back with part two of his show from last week. Next up, please stay tuned for this week's edition of This Way Out. And remember, you are loved and cared for by all of your friends here on Query and at WORT, now and always. Good night.
Midwest Jazz Collective presents the Benny Banach III Quartet for two shows at 7 and 9 p.m. on Monday, April 7th at Cafe Coda. Emmy-nominated trumpeter and singer Benny Banach III has proven to be that rarest of talents. Not only a fiery trumpet player with a stirring command of the post-bop trumpet vernacular, but also a singer with a sly, mature, naturally expressive delivery in the post-Sinatra mold. Third in a generational line of Pittsburgh jazz notables, Benny follows in the footsteps of his trumpeter and bandleader grandfather, Benny Banach Sr., and his father, Benny Banach Jr., who gave the young Benny his first professional experience. Benny's group includes Tyler Henderson on piano, Caleb Tabachman on bass, and Joe Perry on drums. More information at cafecoda.club. Midwest Jazz Collective presents the Benny Banach III Quartet for two shows at 7 and 9 p.m. on Monday, April 7th at Cafe Coda. You are listening to WORT Madison.
Right now, trans voices are so important. You know, they're trying to deny that we exist. Yeah. And so to let us speak, to hear our voices, to hear what we have to say, I think is absolutely crucial. If you can motivate people and get them okay with persecuting one group of people, mm-hmm. you can get them okay with persecuting other groups of people.
Exactly. I now recognize the representative from Delaware, Mr. McBride.
Thank you, Madam Chair.